Okay, listeners, we have David Giles on the line. He is a lecturer in anthropology, Deakin University member, and Giles' research explores the relationships between the global economy, urban redevelopment, and homelessness. And we are interviewing today because he's organising a forum that is happening tonight at 6 o'clock. That is going to be about a public. It's a public forum about the camping laws. Basically the laws that essentially criminalise homelessness in the CBD, they're supported by the Melbourne City Council, that we've been reporting about consistently on Green Left Weekly Radio. Good morning, Giles.
Good morning. How are you?
Hi. So what can you tell us about this public forum that's happening tonight?
At the Multicultural Hub, by the way.
Yeah, Multicultural Hub. I forgot to mention that.
Yep, that's right. So it's tonight at 6, from 6 to 8 at the Melbourne Multicultural Hub in the Purple Room. And, I mean, above all, I realised that the public discourse that's gone on around this has been really limited. You know, there's been a bit of coverage in The Age. There's been some shocking coverage in The Herald Sun.
Of course.
and, you know, even where, even in the places where journalists have tried to give it some attention, and 3CR has done a good job at this, it still just hasn't been time to give it the depth that it really needs. What it really needs is a complex, in-depth conversation, because these are complex, in-depth sorts of issues. So we'll have a panel of people who have a range of expertises about this. So we'll have people with lived experience of homelessness. We'll have researchers like myself. We'll have people who work in the service and the advocacy sector. And we'll have a couple of people who've had experience in Melbourne City government to talk about what's actually at stake, what are the implications of this law, and what are the implications of homelessness more broadly. And then we'll have a Q&A session afterwards. And then we'll have laptops there so people can have their say directly to the City Council. The public comment period ends today. For this set of proposed bylaws. It ends at midnight tonight, so people can come, hear about the event, and then either go home and get on their computer and make a submission to the City Council, or they can make a submission at the event.
Well, one of the questions that always bothered me about this homelessness issue is that no one seems to really look at the broader aspects of homelessness. Homelessness doesn't occur in a vacuum. There's so many features, so many other things that impinge on causing this homelessness in the first place, and how it actually presents itself and how it's dealt with. There's so many aspects to it. But I the curiosity for me is the various aspects of the causation of this phenomena has never been discussed.
Not publicly, not in the, you know, there's a fair amount of research just to show what else is connected to it. I mean, there's no easy cause and effect, but there's a lot of historiography that, you know, points out in the United States the relationship between cutbacks to the public housing sector and homelessness, cutbacks to the welfare sector and homelessness, the rising cost of rent and homelessness. You know, for example, in American cities, there's a direct correlation between rent going up by $100 and homelessness going up by 15%. That sort of thing. We can point to systematic factors like that. In Australia, you know, in the US, it's 1 out of every 100 people is homeless at some point during the year. In Australia, it's only 1 out of every 200. So, you know, we're doing better, but not that much better. And we're in those large systematic ways. We're going down the same direction.
Yeah. Well,
rent's getting higher. The welfare support systems are getting chipped away slowly. Yeah. Public housing is getting chipped away slowly. So, you know, we're creating the same systematic conditions.
Yeah. Well, just one quick comment on that. One thing about that comparison of the statistics is that Australia's population is like the not even as big as the state of New York in the United States. So
proportionally, it's larger. In other words,
yeah. But one, just one question I want to ask you, because you know, it's interesting. Just a comment, and you can respond to it. Is you know, it's interesting that you're organising this public forum, and you know, the Melbourne City Council has voted on these you know, laws, and they apparently they put them through a community consultation period. But you know, why hasn't Melbourne City Council organised a public forum on this? You know, that's a question that really needs to be raised. How come Robert Doyle, you know, isn't speaking to the public, you know, about this? You know, why it really kind of shows, you know, that they really want to push this under the rug, even though they are putting it through a community consultation process, a great thing, but they really aren't putting, you know, that in practice. They're not organising a public forum to really have the deep engagement with the community.
Well, that's right. The key word there is deep. You know, they've got the public public submission period. You know, so they are taking submissions, but they haven't organised a space for the public to hear about it, to learn about it. You know, the public meeting on February 7th, when they voted on the laws to begin with, because they have a sort of two-part process. When they vote them in, they did have a period where people could speak on it, but they had a limited number of people and they could only speak for 3 minutes at a time. So I don't want to speculate about why they might not feel it necessary or valuable to have a more in-depth conversation like this. I'll leave that up for, you know, for you and your listeners to speculate. I do want to say that we invited Robert Doyle. We invited all the members of the council who voted for this, and they all politely declined.
Mm-hmm.
And we also invited the Victoria Police, who asked for these powers, specifically Graham Ashton, the Victoria Chief of Police, publicly has said some actually quite troubling and inaccurate things about homeless people, and explicitly called for these powers. So we invited Graham Ashton to see if we could have a, you know, a civil conversation with him, or a representative of Victoria Police, and they said, well, it's not our policy to comment on such matters, except that they have had press conferences on this in the past.
Of course.
So we'll also be live tweeting the event, so that people in the audience can live tweet at Victoria Police, live tweet at Robert Doyle, and you know, since they, you know, and the City Council simply said, you know, we'd like to be there, but we're too busy. So you can tweet at them and bring them into the conversation anyway.
There has to be a broader discussion, and as you say, you have to have a look at all the other features and factors that are involved in this issue.
Mm-hmm.
For a country that is about third wealthiest in the world, homelessness shouldn't even be a factor in this country.
Absolutely.
It's a disgrace.
And you know, Victoria once had a public housing system that was the, you know, the apple of the world's eye in many ways. You know, so it's, it can be done. We've done it. You know, it just takes the right, the political will to spend the money.
That's right.
Yeah.
And given that the Victorian government is seemingly more progressive, don't seem to take this as seriously as it should.
Well, I should add, I mean, I don't know that it, with political issues like this, I don't know that we can ever really point a finger and pick certain people out as evil or uncaring. I think governments are always kind of under the thumb of larger economic forces.
Oh, yes.
You know, and especially at the level of the city, cities like Melbourne are competing in a global economy in which their security, their economic security is always feels shaky and always feels like it could change at any minute. The global economy, you know, has such whims, you know, that money can pick up and move anywhere. And so I think there is a feeling on the part of cities that they, you know, they're up against the wall and it's, you know, they need to create this world-class image for themselves. They need to attract the tourists. They need to attract They need to attract business, which could go anywhere now because the global economy is, more and more flexible. So homeless people lose out in that. My feeling is that rather than move the homeless people out of the city, we ought to offer re-education to the people who come so that they're not afraid of homelessness, so that they understand the issue and that so that they, so that they're not complaining to the city whenever they meet someone in the street. One of the things looking at it is that this is not just something that's happening in Melbourne. This is something that's happening in cities around the world.
That's right.
It's a symptom of gentrification in a way.
That's right.
Any time you have, increasing poverty, increasing poverty on the one hand, and conflicts over specific spaces on the other. So, any cities around the world are rapidly gentrifying as the whole global economy gets more unequal. And that the gentrification becomes a point of conflict, and then these laws become one of the ways that cities try to manage those conflicts.
It's a top-down approach where you use almost a violent means to hammer away at people who are less advantaged. But just listen to your argument there. My brain went in all different directions. But as you were speaking, I was thinking, well, if you don't want homelessness, prevent it. What the hell is going on here? You don't want homeless people on your streets because you want tourism and all the economic forces you're talking about to be affected. Then why don't you prevent it? That's a question I want to pose to these people.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, the political will over the last 40 years to support people who are poor is kind of has dried up in many countries. You know, you sometimes use the word neoliberalism to describe this constant regime of cutbacks and the vilification that poor people get in the process. You know, I'm thinking of Joe Hockey.
Yes.
calling people lifters and leaners.
Scott Morrison. Yeah. Can go on, yes.
Yeah, and blaming people for being poor, essentially. And that translates into the kinds of cutbacks that we're seeing. But we also need the political will to tame the housing market. You know, the only thing that homeless people all have in common is that they can't afford to pay rent.
That's right.
Aside from that, there are an incredibly diverse set of reasons by why people might end up homeless. But rent goes up and up, and we need to have controls on that as well.
There was a study, or it was actually on the news for a change, ABC, talking about how it costs $200 million to have these people homeless because then it really presents all the other issues we sort of touched on because homeless people have health issues. A lot of them have major mental health issues. A lot of them have other physical illnesses and they end up in hospital, which is going to cost a lot more than if they had been housed. And all these illnesses could have been prevented. They could have been part of the system that actually attends to those health issues. And it tried to address it, but not enough. It's too little too late, especially when they want to criminalized. I mean, you're being criminalized. You're a criminal because you're poor, as you mentioned. I think that is a statement about a society we live in, which is not positive.
That's true. That's true. I mean, when the assumption is that what's good for business is good for everybody, then yes. if you are not good for business, then your existence is kind of marginalized, criminalized.
You can be disposed of.
Yeah, but on the other hand, too, I think in a way these laws discipline the bodies of the poor, and I mean discipline in that kind of like political sense. It doesn't just make people go away, but it makes sure that they can be here and they can't be there. You know, it moves people around in space. The classic example is the workhouse from Victorian England, and thank God we're not as bad as that. But in Victorian England, they did have charity, but they made damn sure that everybody knew that there was a difference between good people, good homeless people, and bad homeless people,
yes.
Good poor people and bad poor people. And the effect was to try and frighten people into working as hard as possible to make poverty as scary as possible, so that people would would be better, a more manageable labour market.
And as if they're not frightened of enough anyway, having no income. My God. Mm-hmm.
So the workhouses were horrible places.
Yes. Jacob, you can say something.
Well, actually, we're running a bit out of time now. So, David, do you have any sort of like final comments? Because actually, there was so much I could say in response to what you just said there. So we could talk about the Salvation Army, actually.
Yes.
But that would probably be another 5 minutes. But unfortunately, we're running
out of time now. Yeah, the role of charity in regulating, not just helping, but actually disciplining and controlling poor populations is another long conversation.
God.
And I don't want to say anything specifically about Salvation Army.
No, that's
okay. There's a long history of that.
Yes.
What I will say is just the details again. Come to the Melbourne Multicultural Hub tonight from 6 to 8. We'll have Richard Foster, who's an ex-former city council member, Melanie Raymond, from Youth Projects, and she's also on the Homelessness Advisory Council for the city. We'll have Megan Fitzgerald from Fitzroy Legal Services. We'll have Spike from the Homeless Persons Union and from 3CR, and myself, and then Louise Johnson from Deakin University will moderate the discussion. And come prepared to make a submission to the City Council if you haven't already.
Sounds excellent.
Yep, sounds very good.
And we should thank you for organizing such a forum to enable people to contribute to this very important discussion.
Oh, thanks very much.
Thanks, David.
Yeah, well, thanks for having me.
Okay, that's okay. Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.